Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Schutte. And Dustin, we finally get to talk about actual football games.
I know. We finally had week zero, and then we're upcoming to the big one. Like, all the Big Ten teams in action this week, so it's an exciting time.
It is. It's fantastic. I sat down on Saturday, and I watched some football. It was great to see. I mean, I don't know about you. Now, you have a vested interest in the NFL, right? You're a Colts fan, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you able to watch preseason NFL?
No, not with any serious. I mean, I watch it to see like if there's any rookies that stand out or, you know, any of the Purdue guys that play particularly well, but none of these games mean anything. So,
and it's like less than nothing in my feeling. I'm an Eagles guy. I guess they play three games preseason. Mm-hmm. I turned on the game twice, okay, two of the games. Dustin, I could not make it through a series.
it's pretty bad, and there's no stakes involved. So it's the appetizer. So if you are a diehard football guy and you have to have it, then I'm sure it, you know, satisfies that itch. But I don't pay any attention. I don't pay attention to any preseason stuff like spring training and baseball, NBA preseason, NFL preseason. I don't pay attention to hardly any of it. It doesn't matter, so it's hard to get me excited about that stuff.
Well, even preseason baseball in the spring, there's players I want to see, you know, potential rookies coming up. I'll watch maybe, you know, the first couple innings to see this guy pitch or this guy hit. But NFL, I don't know why. I can't even bring myself to watch a few plays. It, to me, the most interesting thing is when they kind of scan the sideline. Oh, there's Saquon in street clothes, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, there's Jalen Hurts in street clothes, you know?
Yeah.
Do the starters, do they even put uniforms on anymore for preseason games?
Yeah, I think like maybe the first game, but then after that, it's pretty much like they just want to get them into the flow of playing a little bit. But after that, it's not really, especially if there's like guys that are injury prone or guys who are like Saquon's getting up there in terms of running back years. So why would you add any carries to his? I mean, he can get all the reps he needs in practice. He knows what he's doing, so he doesn't need to mess with any of this stuff.
Well, it just reminds me years ago. Not too long ago, they played four preseason games. I remember when they played six preseason games.
Oof. Yeah, that's a lot of preseason football.
Well, I'll tell you how far back I go. There was once a time where they would take a collegiate all-star team, you know, rookies, make an all-star team out of them, and they would play like the previous year's champions in a game. And could you imagine that today? You know, here's our star rookie, our first round draft pick. We're not going to let somebody else decide how many reps he's going to take and maybe get hurt out there.
Oh my gosh, that would just be a steamroll city today. Whew.
Yeah, but anyway, let's shift back to the college football. As you mentioned, week zero, we had a couple interesting games. And you mentioned you kept an eye on North Carolina TCU. Quite different result from last year when TCU just crushed Bill Belichick in that opener. This time around in Ireland, North Carolina gets the win. And Dustin, is it time to overreact? The Fighting Belichicks are back.
Yeah, obviously it's time to overreact. I mean, that's what week zero is all about. You got two teams that traveled, you know, overseas to play a college football game that was one of the ugliest. We've had like seven games played. I can say it's the ugliest of the year, though, after this point, right?
So yeah, I would go with that.
It was pretty ugly, but it's always hard to judge those games because it's rainy and you don't know what the, you know, in terms of the travel plan was and all that. I hate those games. I hate international football games. NFL, college, I hate them. I don't think you get anything out of it. I'm sure college football does in terms of viewership. It's probably really cool to play in Ireland. I just don't take much from it. But, I mean, yeah, North Carolina won. Billy Edwards is a former Maryland and Wisconsin quarterback. Had some good snaps. But it was just an ugly football game. Lots of bad play. Not much on the offensive end. We'll see. Bill Belichick's on the rise after 1 week, Jim. 15-10 win. Might start building him a statue out there in Chapel Hill.
Well, I have a nephew who is a big New England. He's a Patriot fan, a Red Sox fan. So he has carried on his following of Bill Belichick, okay?
Sure.
The game hadn't even ended, and he's being funny, but he sends me a note. Tar Heels on their way to the playoffs. So if you think we're overreacting,
but it's
hard for me to take much out of this. I don't think TCU is very good, at least based on that performance. They were bad. I'm sure it didn't help with the rain. And when you have a 15-10 game, you know, costly penalties for TCU. They get a first down. The kid gets called for, I guess they're going to crack down on celebrations. Yeah. I'm not sure about that one. That may have been kind of bogus, but it pretty much ends that drive. So I candidly, and this isn't because I'm a Bill Belichick hater, which I am, but if I'm a Tar Heel fan, I'm not going to take a whole lot out of that game. I'm really not. I need to see a lot more. But good for Bill Belichick. Certainly a better start than last year. And at least for a week or 2 weeks, I guess they're probably off this week. He's got the hounds off of him. The other game that Penn Staters were very interested in was Virginia versus NC State. An actual conference game. So it actually had meaning to Penn State fans because former Nittany Lion, Bo Prabula, starting quarterback for Virginia, he looked great. Virginia looked great. And again, makes me wonder, do we overreact to Virginia or is NC State just not good at all?
Yeah, and that's always hard to tell. This is why, again, I don't like these games. I don't like conference games being played in week one. I don't mind the really good, like, non-conference games. Like, North Carolina TCU is a perfect example. It's a good – I shouldn't say good. It is a fine cross-conference matchup between two Power Four opponents, but there's no real conference implications here. I don't like the conference implications week one because you just don't know – much about your team. It's hard to gauge whether you think Virginia's good, NC State's good. Can we say both? A little of both. NC State's probably not very good, and Virginia's probably better than what people think. But I didn't watch much of that game. I saw some of the score, but it just seemed like Virginia was able to move the ball offensively with a lot of ease. And so that makes me think North Carolina State's defense probably isn't very good, and Virginia's going to play a lot better competition down the road.
Well, and Virginia, everything that they did worked. And by everything that they did, I'm even talking about during the off season. They brought a lot, like everybody, they brought in a lot of portal people. Their emphasis was on veteran people, though. Their offensive line, veteran player. Someone recited it to me. It was like fifth-year guy, sixth-year, fifth, you know. They were all veteran. They were men, you know, playing on the offensive line. Virginia decided, hey, we could run the ball. And the added element of a quarterback who could run the ball, which is what Bo Prabula is, they just decided, if we could run you over, we're going to do that. And they threw the ball a grand total of three times in the first half, Dustin. Three times. And by the way, they dominated that first half. I think it was 17-0 at halftime. Bo Pribula probably ran for 80 or 90 yards in the first half. But when I give credit to the coaching staff and everything they did, it was also they took Bo Pribula and they used his talent exactly the way someone should. They exploited it tremendously. And I think my favorite part to it was threw the ball three times in the first half, ran the ball like crazy. They get the kickoff in the second half. What did they do? Pass, pass, pass. And they went over the top because I could just picture Virginia's coaching staff at halftime. Well, we've been running the ball like crazy. You know they're going to bring the safety up. Okay, yeah. You know they're going to do it. If there's ever a time to go over the top, now is it. And they did. And it's 24-0, game over.
Yeah, that's I mean, that's working to your personnel and understanding what the strengths are. And so I think that that's a great strategy. I think they've got, I don't know who their offensive coordinator is, but Tony Elliott was a former offensive coordinator at Clemson. So they've got a lot of good offensive minds there, understand what's working. So if you want to completely overreact to this, Jim, and since there is a Penn State tie, I think we should. If you think Virginia's really good, then they only play one ranked opponent on their schedule this year, and it's at SMU. And you look at some of these other teams on their schedule, Florida State, didn't look very good in their week one game, Syracuse, Duke, Wake Forest, Cal, North Carolina. Could that be a very interesting Penn State tie there to close out the season, Bro Pribula, Virginia Tech? On Thanksgiving weekend, potentially like ACC championship. We're way ahead of ourselves here, Jim, but this is what it's all about, right?
Overreacting, like you said, my friend. Well, what I liked about it, well, a couple things. Number one, the Penn State tie. It's amazing how when you leave a school, is there a negative or positive impression? Mm-hmm. Bo Pribula, I've not heard one Penn State fan say a bad word about Bo Pribula. Okay. The system kind of was set up for him to leave when he did. We all get that. Penn State fans, anyone I talk to about this particular game, they were rooting for Bo Pribula, and the conversation has already started. Virginia versus Virginia Tech. Go Cavaliers, go Wahoos. That's an easy one, Dusty. Yeah. And it doesn't even matter if it has championship game implications. All right, that's it for quarter one. Lots more to talk about when we get back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first-of-its-kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking college football. We're going to get to some Big Ten talk, Dustin. But first, in the initial segment, we were talking about the week zero games. And you were asking me about reaction to, you know, former Penn State connections. What if Virginia Tech has ACC championship implications the final week of the season? Don't care. Don't care if it has championship game implications. Not at all. We are rooting for Bo Pribula, okay? And I guess I want to ask you the question, though. I'm watching those former Penn State players, especially when it's like a quarterback who goes elsewhere, because there's such a critical element. We've got three Penn Staters who are going to be starting elsewhere. Jackson Smolik is going to be starting for Temple, who Penn State plays, I think, in week two of the season. Bo Prabula, obviously, and Ethan Grunkmeyer at Virginia Tech. So, yeah, I have an interest in those players and also those teams then. Is that normal? Do you find the same thing with those Purdue players who move on?
It kind of depends. I think it's unique because obviously when you have a quarterback, that's the guy that's going to be on the field a majority of the time. So it's a little bit easier to gauge. Like Purdue's had some guys like Max Clair left and played at Ohio State. Dylan Thienemann left and went to Oregon. I don't know that anybody, it's kind of the same thing, Jim. The players who left after that 24 season, there was really no hard feelings from the Purdue fans. They were like, we get it. We wouldn't want to stick around this 1-11 team either, right? Especially if you have aspirations to go to the NFL. So I think to some degree, there's some interest there. I don't know if it's over. I'll tell you, for me, it's a little bit easier with like basketball. So Purdue's had some guys who were on the bench or played, you know, were just kind of role players and moved on. And there's a lot of support for those guys. Maybe it's because Purdue really hasn't had a quarterback that transferred that went on somewhere that has been around for a couple years, you know? So I don't know. That's a good question. I would say to some degree, probably. I'm sure some people go out there and watch it with some level of interest. I think there's games, but I'm not going to sit there and watch, you know, if there's a game where last year would be a good example. So Oregon played Indiana. Well, Dylan Thienemann played at Purdue. Then he played at Oregon. So there's a little bit of, okay, I want to see how he performs in this game. Does he still hold on to that rivalry? Is he taking it personally? You know, anything like that. But I don't know that I watched Oregon to see how Dylan Thienemann played. It was, you know, it was just kind of one of those things. So, but here's, I'm going to turn this around and ask a question because I can't get off this now. Okay. So
go ahead. Hit me up.
You've got Virginia Tech in the final week of the season. More Penn State fans interested in that game or more Penn State fans interested in Penn State, Maryland? The only reason I ask that is because Penn State usually trounces Maryland. I think Penn State fans would watch, especially if there's, you know, something at stake, you know, if they're where we think they could be at, you know, 9-2 heading into that game. Obviously fans are going to be excited. But is there actually more intrigue in the other game simply because it might be a better matchup than what you're going to see in College Park that final week of the season?
It's an interesting question, but I don't think that fans would be more interested in that. You know, there's, okay, we have interest in what's going on with James Franklin. I care more about Matt Campbell right now. Interested in Ethan Grunkmeyer? Yeah. More interested in Rocco Beck.
Sure.
Have a rooting interest in Virginia beating Virginia Tech because it's Bo Prabula on one side, James Franklin on the other? You bet. A lot more interest, though, in Penn State beating Maryland.
Sure.
And not just because it's Penn State, but also because it's Maryland. You know,
there you go.
I'm not a Locksley fan, as you know. There's also, going back, Maryland has tried so hard to make this a rivalry.
Yeah, they have.
And it hasn't
unsuccessfully
worked. Yeah. And there was the game going back years now during the sanctions time where their captains refused to shake hands.
I remember that. Yep.
Which may be the single most bogus rivalry thing to do in. I mean, that's even more petty than calling Michigan the team up north. Okay. It's beyond ridiculous. So a few years ago down in Maryland where, you know, they start thinking we could win this game. They really they put in a blackout.
Yeah,
you
I remember
know,
this.
Countering the whiteout. And by the start of the second half, their fans were making their way out of the stadium and the Penn State fans were taking over. Now, it sounds probably a little bit petty of me to bring these things up. And if you think that, Dustin, you are correct. I am being petty about it. But this is also why I love college football. Give me a chance, Dustin, to be petty. I don't like Maryland. There's nothing about Maryland I like. So, yes, I love watching Penn State trounce them.
I think that's fair. That's what makes college football so enjoyable is the pettiness and the rivalry and everything else. So I'm all for it.
As long as we're speaking petty, can we talk Pat Narduzzi?
Yeah, what happened now?
Oh, nothing yet.
Oh, okay.
However, you're asking me about, you know, Virginia playing Virginia Tech, what a Penn Stater's interest is in that. And I need to look at what week it is, but Virginia Tech plays Pitt.
Ooh, okay, there you go.
And James Franklin and Pat Narduzzi do not like each other.
I do know that.
Mark that one on the calendar. That's a game worth watching. And if there was ever a game I wish both teams could lose, that would be it. But I will see about watching that game. And that's the game, I've said it before, what I wouldn't give to be, you know, there listening to the pregame conversation between the head coaches.
Yes, yeah, that would be really good. Yeah, because I remember those. I wonder if – no, I don't think – I think James Franklin holds a grudge. So I think that it won't go by the – look at that face. Nobody can see this, but Jim's got quite the face when I said James Franklin can hold a grudge.
Well, and Pat Narduzzi too. That's they are both, speaking of petty, they are both petty. They are both thin-skinned. That's going to make that game fun. Just for that reason. And I'm hoping for like some controversial play, controversial calls. I'm hoping for ugliness in that game, Dustin.
I'm sure there will be. I'm sure some crazy things are going to happen. Quietly, the ACC's become must-watch football. It's like it's not very – it's like it took on – how do I say this without – okay, so it's not as good as the old Big East in terms of the basketball, right? But this – my comparison is like it's getting up there in terms of at least the personalities that you have with James Franklin, Pat Narduzzi, Bill Belichick. I mean, I don't think he has a personality that much, but it's at least something that draws
it's
you
his
in.
Lack of personality.
Yes, correct. Yes, correct. You got Jeff Brohm, who's he doesn't say a whole lot, but he's like that fiery guy that always does something crazy during a game. Like, there's a lot of characters in the ACC. So it's Mario Cristobal at Miami, Florida State's in the ACC. So it's secretly like Big East personality, Big East basketball personality without the dominance. How about that?
Well, and you forgot about Dabo.
Oh, yeah, Dabo. How could I forget? Well, that Clemson hasn't been as relevant in recent years, but he's still there.
But he still talks, and I want to get to – we are going to – trust me, next segment we're going to hit Big Ten and look at this coming week one's games. But within the ACC that you brought it up, I think there's also interesting teams to watch there. Miami has definitely raised that level, their level of play. Mm-hmm. They're a national championship competitor. SMU, I love the SMU story. I know a lot of people don't. You know, they bought their way into the ACC. They bought their way into a much better team. But is that not what all the big schools have been doing for years? The money went in a little different ways, but SMU, yeah, they bought themselves a place at the table. Great story. Clemson, you know, coming back down to earth. Love that story. And, you know, just throw out because of the personalities of the coaches, like you mentioned, Pat Narduzzi and Pitt. But I'll tell you what, I know some of it's Bo Prabhul at quarterback, but boy, I'm now interested in watching Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, I think they throw something into the mix here too. Like, I don't know. I think the ACC's fun because you just don't know who's going to come out of it every year, right? Like, that makes for an intrigue. Like, I mentioned Jeff Brohm. Louisville's won 9 games each of the last three is it 3 years now? I think so. Yeah, it's been three miserable years. So this is, so he's done a pretty good job. So that's a team to watch. And I don't think that's on nationally a ton of radars, but there's a handful of teams in the ACC that I think, like Wake Forest, they lost a lot of their production, but that was a 9-win team a year ago. So there's just a lot of intrigue. Manny, you haven't even mentioned Manny Diaz.
I know.
And that's your guy, Chip. What were you thinking?
He was next. Hey, lose five games and make it to the ACC championship. How about that?
Yeah, that's how you do it. That's the Manny Diaz way.
But you're right. I personally have, you know, that interest because there's so many, you know, former Penn State people, not just James Franklin, but his staff and former Penn State players at Virginia Tech. Again, Grunkmeyer, Manny Diaz, but there's also just great stories in the ACC. And it's where also, Dustin, I don't like that the Big Ten and Southeast Conference are set apart from those other conferences. I would like to see the ACC and Big 12 get their due and be on par, at least.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think football's better when you have that kind of the entire country involved. That's what made it became a national. I mean, it was a national sport, but with regional interest. And I wish we could get back to that.
I'm with you on that. All right, Dustin. When we come back, we're going to talk about this upcoming Big Ten schedule, Week One. After this.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. And Dustin, we're finally going to talk some Big Ten football. We did a lot of ACC talk. Let's get to the Big Ten. USC got to play a game in week zero. I think that was the only Big Ten team that played. This week we got a full schedule, and it most definitely is out of conference going on. Are there games? Well, let me ask you specifically, which game intrigues you the most?
You have to go down the list to try to find one of these. I would say in week one, probably the one that intrigues me most is Wisconsin at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That's the only real, I mean, if you want to say Washington State Apple Cup because of the rivalry, then I'll concede that, but I don't think Washington State's very good. The only other real one on the schedule then, Jim, to me is UCLA Cal. So there's not a lot to choose from. So I would say Wisconsin Notre Dame. And, I mean, that could provide us some sort of outlook as to what to expect in year one of Luke Fickell. Or year one of Luke Fickell. hot seat year for Luke Fickell, right? So that's, I think most people will be watching that game with an eye on, I think everybody expects Notre Dame to win, but how does Wisconsin look? Do they just get boat raced and all of a sudden Wisconsin's fighting an uphill battle? Or do they at least show some competitiveness and you say, okay, maybe Luke Fickell's got this thing headed in a positive direction for the rest of the year.
And as we all know, one game isn't always an indicator, but we are going to overreact to it and come to some conclusions. But you do look at that game and it's at least two interesting names, okay? Yeah. And a lot of people have Notre Dame as their number one team in the country, think they have the best chance at a national championship. Their schedule is certainly friendly. This is being played at Lambeau Field, so there's that little bit of intrigue there. And you're right. For Wisconsin, if you're Luke Fickell, you have got to be on the hot seat, do you not?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say even he probably knows that, because they've gotten worse every year by a record standpoint. They went, I think they won 8 games if you count the bowl win in 2023. They won 5 games in 24, and then they won 4 games last year. So this is a program that has to show drastic improvement. And they have this game against Notre Dame. Then they've got a couple cupcakes with Western Illinois and Eastern Michigan, and then you have Penn State on the road. So 2 of their first 4 games are really going to be tough testers. So you have and you don't have to get off to a good start. Obviously, winning, beating Notre Dame would send quite the statement, but you don't have to get off to a good start that way. You have to get off to a good start by, okay, be competitive against Notre Dame, show us something, get some things accomplished on both sides of the ball, then go and steamroll your next 2 opponents, and maybe you build some confidence heading into that week 4 game against Penn State.
You mentioned another game, UCLA at Cal, and I don't know how closely you watch the spreads, but it's always intriguing to me when a spread changes. And for it to change 2 or 3 points, or even, you know, get to 3 points, that's kind of significant, but even more so if it goes from this team being the favorite to that team being the favorite. And Cal went from the favorite to the underdog, which I think it has a lot to do with Bob Chesney at UCLA getting a lot of positive media reaction. And I think when folks saw UCLA as an underdog, I think they started betting them. So it's now it went from Cal being 1.5 favorite to Cal being 1.5 underdog.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, I think the media has probably shifted a lot of those lines simply because of the talk. Like, there's a lot of hype around Bob Chesney and what he can accomplish at UCLA, because he's won everywhere he's gone. He has that, you know, had that stop at James Madison. So I think there's probably an unfounded belief that it's going to be maybe not quite like Kurt Cignetti at Indiana, but that similar type of impact where you take a team that was floundering and then turn them into a real competitor, a real contender. I don't know if that's going to be the case in year one, but I do think that UCLA is going to be considerably better than they have been the last 2 seasons. So I think that's a positive. I'm not shocked that UCLA is a favorite. I don't follow the line, so I don't know what it started out as.
I'll take care of that for you. Okay. Don't worry.
Yeah, there you go. You follow along that stuff. Yeah, so, but I'm not surprised UCLA is the favorite, and I'm not surprised that the line shifted, because I do feel like as we've gotten closer and people have started talking more about the Big Ten and where teams can finish, I think that UCLA is a lot of people's, maybe not dark horse to like win the conference, but a dark horse to be, you know, in that 8-9 win category, maybe pull off an upset or two along the way.
And I also think when you mentioned that Chesney took over for Kurt Cignetti at James Madison and was successful. And first of all, Kurt Cignetti is used as Exhibit A,
yeah,
for everything. Oh, why can't we win? Kurt Cignetti, yep, did it at Indiana. Not quite fair. He's the exception to the rule. Mm-hmm. But where I do think Indiana did a good job in bringing him in, and what Kurt Cignetti had on his resume was this, and he reminded us all of this: look at my resume. I win wherever I go. Now, and it wasn't like, oh, he won at James Madison. He had other stops at even lower levels, but he won no matter where he was. Bob Chesney has that same history. Mm-hmm. He's gone to multiple places, and a couple of them, if you hear it, you go, so what? That's such a lower level. But the consistency at 3-4 different stops, he won everywhere he was at.
Yeah,
I think that's a tremendous point on your resume. The second thing for UCLA is they're recruiting well, which means they're spending money. Okay. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. There's a direct correlation. And the third thing, I think they have a returning quarterback in Nico, who is very talented. I know he's up and down. I saw what he did against Penn State with a much inferior team.
Yeah.
He killed Penn State. He has the ability there. And if you now have a good coaching staff who could bring some consistency out of him, I think UCLA becomes dangerous.
Yeah, I think there's no question about that. I'm going to add a fourth thing to your reasons to kind of buy stock in UCLA this year and Bob Chesney. And that is, you know, back in the old days when a coach would take over a program, it was, well, he's winning with Kurt Cignetti's guys. But Kurt Cignetti took a lot of those players that he was successful with at James Madison with him to Indiana. So Bob Chesney had to do it with, I'm sure there were still plenty of guys from that James Madison team that stayed, but he basically had to do it with his guys right away. And he was able to do that. Much like, you know, Cignetti, he had James Madison in the playoff 2 years later. So it's an impressive, it just shows you that he probably has the ability to win anywhere. The Big Ten is a tough conference. I don't think he's going to have Kurt Cignetti-like success, but I do agree with you that his past speaks for itself. I think he has the weapons. He brought in some pretty good talent with him from James Madison. He has a good quarterback who can beat you in a couple different ways. So I think UCLA is one of those teams that is going to surprise a lot of people this year. Again, don't know that that means like 10 or 11 wins, but I think it means they'll get an upset here or there, and they're going to be a very competitive team from week one through week 14.
I do too. I think that was a great hire. I was actually when his name was being thrown around when the Penn State job was open. Very happy with Matt Campbell, but of those names being thrown around, I was kind of rooting for Bob Chesney. I thought he would be a guy that could do the job if given the weapons that they have and the resources that they have at Penn State.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there were a couple different names. He was one of them that would have fit really well, especially considering he had just, you know, been coaching on the East Coast.
Yes. Another game which has some name value, Boise State at Oregon. And I don't know if I'm giving Boise State too much credit from their history.
Yeah.
And they have been competitive. In fact, 2 years ago, I think it was when they played Oregon, they played them right to the finish.
Yeah, that was I was going to say, that's why that game is intriguing to me. I don't know that we're going to get the same result, but that's immediately what popped into my head too, was, of course, that team had Ashton Giante, and that makes that makes quite a difference as well, right? So I don't know if we'll get the same sort of Boise State-Oregon matchup, but I do think just out of the gate, that's an intriguing matchup for Oregon.
Care to guess the spread?
I would say Oregon, let's say 16 and a half.
24.
Woo. That seems a little steep, but okay.
Yeah, that's what I was taken off guard by that also, because I instantly thought, okay, Boise State, they're always one of the best group of five teams, group of six teams now, I guess. And I thought, oh, okay, you know, two touchdowns, maybe a little bit more. And when I saw 24, I was like, okay, what's the story on Boise State now? Yeah. Are they not one of those teams? Are they not, you know, the typical Boise State that we saw before? It's the same thing. I instantly, when I saw Washington State and Washington, I thought, hey, rivalry game. Good for them that they're playing it. But Washington State is a heavy underdog in this one also. Care to guess?
Based on that, 22 and a half.
It's something like that. For some reason, it's the one I didn't write down. But in my head, I know it was 20-some points, which is really smart of me to ask you that question when I don't know the answer.
And then not have the answer? Usually ESPN has it. I don't see it, though. Oh, man. Well, we'll just leave it up to that's an 88% chance for Washington to win based on their matchup predictor, but I don't have a spread for you off of my app.
I go to a site, I think it's called Vegas Insider, where it gives each, you know, here's FanDuel, here's, you know, DraftKings and each one of them. But it also shows the progress of the spread. So if it started this and went to this, that's always intriguing to me.
23.5
20. Okay. You were very close. You were almost right on that. All right. We got lots more to talk about. We're going to do that when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. He's Dustin. I'm Jim. We're taking a look at the upcoming Week 1 Big Ten schedule. And we were looking for the best games, and some of them, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, big names. Notre Dame's still a 20-point favorite in this one. Washington State at Washington. Hey, nice rivalry game. Washington was, what did you say, 23.5-point favorite? And I'm not looking at every single game, but I think it's set up where I mentioned UCLA at Cal. It's a 1.5 spread. Okay. Good matchup. Looks like a good game. Dustin, I do not think there's another game in conference with less than a 20-point spread.
No, probably not. Just looking at it. I don't think so. There is one other game that kind of interests me, not simply because of I think it's going to be a close game per se, but if there's potential for like some interest of the rest, and this is going to sound dumb because Indiana just won the national championship and they're playing North Texas in week one, but let me just throw it out there. North Texas went 11-2 last season. And I think they could have very easily been in that playoff instead of James Madison. And then a former Indiana quarterback is North Texas's starting quarterback. So there's at least some ties there that would make it intriguing. I still think Indiana's going to win by 35 points, but it could be a game that, like in the first quarter, Jim, it's like 14-7. You're like, ooh, what's happening here?
All right. I have to do it. When you looked at that game, did you look at the spread?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen the spread for any game. You only guess?
Yes, I do.
Man, I would not say 40. 33.5.
You should have said 40.
No kidding?
No kidding.
That's deep. Now, granted, I don't know what all North Texas lost from last year's team. Well, I don't know who their coach is, so...
Well, here's my issue with it, and I think it leads to this bigger question of this out-of-conference scheduling, okay? Oregon scheduling Boise State, I'm saying, you know, okay, Boise State through the years has been pretty good. UCLA scheduling Cal. Washington State, they probably have to play each other. Wisconsin playing Notre Dame, hey, they're the 20-point underdog. But they chose to schedule them. Some of these other games, Dustin, Ohio State is a 50-point favorite over Ball State.
Yep.
Maryland plays Hampton.
Yep.
Hampton, they're a 45-point favorite. Minnesota, a 43-point favorite. I mentioned Indiana, 40-point favorite. Iowa, a 31-point favorite. It usually takes Iowa three games to score 31 points.
Yeah.
And they're 31-point favorite. Your Purdue Boilermakers, the worst team in the conference. And who are they playing this week?
Indiana State, baby.
You know,
the Sycamores.
Yeah, if it were basketball and Larry Bird was playing and he's age 60, Okay, yeah. Maybe that's intriguing. But as a football, I didn't even know Indiana State had a football game. Purdue, the worst team in the conference, is a 35-point favorite. Okay?
That makes sense.
Those are not even competitive games.
Right.
And I know I'm shouting at the clouds, but what would it take to change that? Should there not be, okay, you're playing 9 conference games. Could they make it like, all right, required to play a 10th Power 4 team? I even say make the other 2 games have to at least be an FBS team. None of these playing Hampton.
Well, the Big Ten prohibited teams for a little bit from scheduling FCS opponents, right? So I wish we would go back to that, but I don't think that's going to happen because it's all about making the playoff. I would like to see tougher schedules too. And some of this you can't, some of it's hard to dictate too. Like to me, another one, give USC some credit, Fresno State, Fresno State's had some good teams. I don't know if they're going to be any good this year, but they've been competitive in years past. So I think that's a quality group of 6 team too. But yeah, I don't know. Like, so I'm going to dog on Indiana, and this is not me being biased. Okay.
Yes, it is. But go ahead anyway. We like bias, Dusty.
Well, it's the most relevant. But they've had on their schedule, they've had games against Notre Dame, Louisville, Virginia, all that they've canceled. Now, to their credit, here's what I'll say. North Texas is based on last year's results, is about as good of a group of 6 opponent that you could schedule. Maybe not historically, but they won 11 games last year and were on the verge of getting to the playoff. So Indiana can't help that they're a 40-point favorite. I still think that there's some value in playing this week one as if it's basically a preseason game. So because I want to see teams at least have one full game of reps in before we start to see these power conference. I just think it makes for a better game, and at least you know what you have and what you can do. When you go right off the bat, sometimes I think it's a little misleading, or maybe you're not, you don't know what your team has to offer. So I don't mind these week one cupcake schedules, but then week two moving forward is when I want to see it gone. So I want 11 of 12 games to be competitive. I don't really care about week one. Week one, we're just happy to have football back.
Well, if they did it that way, I think I would be okay with it because, as you said, okay, at least 11 out of 12 games would be at least competitive, or, you know, teams have an opportunity. But, you know, for Ohio State to play Ball State, it would be more competitive if they had a scrimmage with their own team. Yeah. You know, if they played the first team against the second team, or literally played the first team against the third team.
Right.
That would be more competitive.
Well, and I think too, Ohio State does play on the road at Texas. So there's one, they're one of the few teams that's willing to go up against, but then week 3, they play Kent State. So they're probably going to be again, a 45-point favorite in that game, if not 50. So that's what I think you and I can agree on. We don't like if they just played Ball State and they didn't have another one of those games, but I understand it from the point of, hey, we're playing 10 really good opponents this year, and our goal is to get to the playoff and win a national championship. We don't want to add Notre Dame. We don't want to play Texas, Notre Dame, and then go right into Illinois. Right. So unless there's some sort of uniform scheduling, and you've mentioned this too, Jim, this is the other part of this too, is you've got to look at your schedule on the conference side, and you can say, well, look, we're going to play Iowa on the road. We're going to play Indiana on the road. We got to go to USC. We got to play Oregon, and we've got to play Michigan. So why would we push ourselves in non-conference? Meanwhile, you may have, you know, who did we decide who has the easiest schedule in the Big Ten? Doesn't
matter. It should be Penn State.
Let's say Penn State, where they don't have to play any of those games and they've got 3 cupcakes. So it's like, well, why isn't Penn State scheduling 2 of those opponents? Because they've got the easier of the Big Ten schedules. So I think the bigger problem is there's no consistency with conference scheduling, but you can't get it because the conferences are so big.
Right. It's definitely not going to be consistent. And I'm actually looking at this from a different angle, not so much for it to be fair. Okay. Ohio State's schedule is so much tougher than Penn State's. Not even close, no comparison. And that's without even counting the out-of-conference games where Ohio State is going to play Texas. And as much as a fan, I love, you know, that Ohio State is playing Texas, that Michigan's playing Oklahoma. Love those games. We'll be watching those games. But my issue, just play games where you're not 40-point favorites. So even if I were an Ohio State fan and I'm complaining about playing Texas in the out-of-conference, what I'd rather see is them play an ACC team, a Big 12 team, not necessarily the best. I liked when Penn State for over recent years, they had West Virginia on the schedule. Mm-hmm. They had Pitt on the schedule. They had Auburn on the schedule. Those were games that if they were going to be competing for a playoff position, they should win those games, okay? However, it made those games interesting and intriguing. Auburn, when they played, not one of the elite Southeast Conference teams, but it was still an SEC team with name value and history. West Virginia, dangerous team. I loved those games. I thought they were very interesting. Playing Buffalo? Not interesting, Dustin.
Oh, come on. Not you don't want to see him play Villanova three times?
No. Okay. No, I do not. And I think and I get that it's like, okay, I'm creating my schedule so that I could make the playoffs, okay? So I get those easy wins. And compared to other schools that are doing it. Well, if everybody, if the rules were the same throughout the country where you have, you know, a 10th game has to be Power 4, 11th game has to be FBS, and one game you could play an FCS team, great. Then there's consistency, but yeah. You're also looking for, as far as fans go, you know, fans are paying a good amount of money to watch Penn State play Buffalo.
Yeah, and I think to me, if like some people don't care, some people want to see their team win, and I totally get that. But if I'm a season ticket holder, I want the matchups. Now, does it matter if you know at Purdue, it's you might get run out of the stadium, but just like at least you're seeing quality teams. As fun as it is, like Purdue, if you look at Purdue's home schedule this year, when you look at the conference, I mean, the only appealing game is Notre Dame. And I don't know that that's appealing from the Purdue perspective, but you can see one of the best teams in the country, right? So I'm with you. I would, if I'm paying for season tickets, I want to see at least a few or at least one marquee game. I don't want to go see Nevada, Villanova, and Buffalo. I don't want to see my team win by 42 points and be uninterested by halftime every game.
I know Penn State fans are rooting for their team, want to win the most games, mm-hmm. and the easy schedule helps that. But season ticket holders, they're looking at the home schedule, and it's, well, USC.
Yeah.
Well, that's about it, though, for those really big, intriguing games. All right, Dustin, that's it for us fixing college football for today. Next week, we'll get to talk about results from week one. I'm looking forward to that. Hope you enjoy week one of college football. Thank you all for joining us. Be back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.